the book of Acts. Acts 28. This is the story of the shipwreck. We won't read the whole thing, but the story of the shipwreck where they had to kindle a fire because it was, well, they were wet from coming ashore, and then it was raining because of the storm, and it was cold. So how comfortable a fire is at that time. Praise God. I got tickled at Brother Aaron how this time of the year the hot dog cart is up at Fur Rendezvous. And they set up at the snow sculptures. And, of course, it's cold. And then I think you also are by the dog races. So two locations, and that's why the vias are out in force to do this. But it's cold, and the grill is just not quite enough to keep the chill off. So he's glad he's nice and warm in the sound booth. Praise God. Thank you for coming home, Brother Aaron, and helping us today. Amen. The Lord bless you. But there's something... Well, I better get busy here with the word of the Lord. Verse 2, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness in everybody, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. We'll get into the story of that as we go along here, but they kindled a fire. Amen. You may be seated. I started to say there's something interesting about a fire when you are at a picnic or you're camping out and you've got the fire ring or whatever might be there and you're piling wood on the fire. There's almost a magnetism, especially for kids. They're going to pick up a stick and they're going to go over there and they're going to poke the fire. I guess they want sparks to fly or they something about it. If you've got a wood stove that's got a glass panel or a fireplace, there's just something about sitting there staring at the fire. And the comfort, the heat, the light, and the cooking. Thank the Lord we don't have to cook over a fire. When I read Louis L'Amour, I'm always amazed at how quick the coffee boils, how fast the bacon fries. You know, it never says anything about how they got the coffee or how they got the bacon and how they both last for a long, long time in their saddlebags. No matter where they're going, they've got coffee and bacon. Anyway, it's just, I guess you can do anything when you're writing fiction. Make it up. I'm glad the Lord and his fire is not fiction. That's something made up. What we felt here today, praise God. That's not fiction. That's not a fairy tale. That's not a fable. It's the power of God. Amen. No wonder we worship loud and we preach loud. Fire is exciting. Amen. The blessings of God that are there. Amen. Now, we believe in freedom of speech. And thank God for the country that we live in. And the freedom that we have to tell people about the Lord, to witness. You know, there's a lot of misunderstanding about the aspect of separation of church and state. That really isn't in the Constitution. It just talks about freedom of religion, not necessarily saying church and state have got to be separate. Thank God we've been able to combine it. And if they read the letters from Washington and so on, there was definitely no separation. They believed very strongly that the Lord was doing a work, amen, and the power of God that was so good and so wonderful. But you can't stand up in a building, a crowded building, and yell fire. You can't do that. There's some civil penalties for that. I don't know what they'll do to you. Maybe you'll get trampled, people running out, but you're not supposed to do that. We have freedom of speech, but there's boundaries. and so on. I remember hearing about a farmer whose barn caught on fire. And he was pleading for anybody to come and help, anybody. And he saw an old fire truck coming down the road and responding to his alarm. And he signaled them to come on down, and they came down his driveway and into his yard. And my goodness, they went right in the barn. The doors were open. They drove their old fire truck right in the barn when the volunteers jumped off and they started fighting that fire. And they got it beat down. They got it contained. And the farmer was so grateful that they, in their heroic measures, stepped right in and attacked that fire and put it out, extinguished it. He said, I'm going to give you a reward, he said. I'm going to give you $1,000. And, of course, the volunteer firemen were so thankful for that gesture of kindness and reward. And then he asked them, what will you do with it? And the captain said, well, the first thing we're going to do is get our brakes fixed. Their heroism was by accident. Well, we know about fire, and there's scriptural truths about fire as well. I have five times down here in my notes, but there's probably even more times that the Lord answers by fire. Fire is just an important part. Sacrifice was important, you know, to Cain and Abel. They knew how to offer sacrifice. They knew how to worship the Lord. Cain, of course, made his option, his alternative. Man's always trying to come up with alternatives, always trying to come up with options that are more convenient and more comfortable and more ease, you know, for doing it. Abel offered the sacrifice the right way. He had an altar and he had fire. I believe that it was done the right way. Amen. I don't think that there were people in caves and grunting at each other and all of a sudden discovering fire and burning their fingers and igniting their hair and all that sort of thing, you know, that is put forth in some people's thinking. I think the Lord provided it and showed them and made it a part of worship. Amen. And the Lord answered by fire. You ever have instructions on how to build a fire? Visiting with Pastor Jeff, you know, made me think back to some of the things that we did in Ketchikan in our schools and the class outings and so on. We went to a place called Ward Lake. It's a little camp area, and a nice, beautiful lake, and salmon come up and trout come up and in there. And so we did a lot of things with the students, and one of the activities was how to build a fire. And we demonstrated regular matches. We demonstrated windproof matches. We demonstrated, you know, just all of those things about this is how you put the fire together or put the wood together, the fuel, and so on, and you build the fire. One of them was the what we call the buddy burner. I'm getting way off here. The coffee can, you know, that we cut little holes in and put a little fire starter under it, and you ignite it, and you can cook on the coffee can, the part that's there. And I fried a bunch of burgers with that. And one of our teachers, our librarian, had a smaller coffee can and had the little edge on it, you know, and she would break an egg right on there, and it would fill that whole area of the coffee can. And there would be her egg just sizzling away. You getting hungry yet? But a fire. Elijah gave a lesson on how not to build a fire. He's up on the mountain. He challenges the prophets of Baal, false prophets, prophets of superstition, and like that. And he says, "Okay, let's have a contest of sorts here. The God who answers by fire, let him be God." Now, Elijah, no doubt, has known of the various instances where God answered by fire. Amen. There's, you're reading through Leviticus, The end of Leviticus 9, God answers by fire in a blessing way. The beginning of chapter 10, he answers by fire in a judgmental way. In just a few verses, God answers by fire twice, but for different purposes. Make sure it's you're in the right. You know, you're getting the blessing of the Lord, not the judgment of God. In this instance, it was going to be something that ended in judgment. And so he challenged them. Let the God who answers by fire. And so they made their altar. They made their sacrifice. They called upon their God. Elijah sat over on the side watching. And then he challenged them. Holler a little louder. Your God's evidently sleeping. He's visiting with somebody. He's on a journey. Got to get his attention. And then finally he made them step aside. And he built his altar. Oh, an altar is so important. Amen. A place where we can connect with God. A place where we can put ourselves on the altar and all of the things that might hinder us from complete service to God, let God burn it up. Amen. Let those things, those attitudes, those ideas, those feelings, you know, that past, let God take care of it. Amen. And that's what he did. He built that altar. And then he assembled the wood. Then he cut up the bullock, so the blood is saturating the wood and dripping down over the stones and so on. And then he made a trench around that altar, and people sitting there wondering, what's he doing that for? And then he picked out four guys and said, "You guys, each of you grab a barrel, and you fill it up with water, and you come back and you pour that water on my altar. And see if you can fill up that trench." They did that. Do it a second time. They trudged off to wherever the water source was, which was pretty difficult because it hadn't rained for 3.5 years, so water wasn't plentiful. I don't know where they got the water from, but they come marching back with their barrels, pour it on the altar. And they get it all done, and boy, it's really getting wet now. It's really getting saturated, and the ditch is about half full. And Elijah says, "Do it a third time." So off they go with their barrels, come back again, pour it all out there. This is how not to build a fire. You don't start with saturated wood. You don't put it in a place where, you know, there's pools of water and so on. But Elijah knew what his God could do. Hashahalabokunda. Oh, yes. And God wants to continue to minister to you. God wants to continue to show his power to you. God still wants to demonstrate what he can do. Praise God. You may feel yourself in a tight circumstance, in a tight situation. You may wonder how things are going to turn out. And if God doesn't answer, what's going to happen to me? But oh, God answers by fire. Praise God. And so Elijah begins to call upon his God, and he prays just a few words, 63 words, in fact, and God answered by fire. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, it would be awesome. We're going to have to, when we get to heaven, we're going to have to say, "Elijah, could you tell me what that was like? Did it start like a candle? Did it start just a tiny flame and you saw a little tendril of smoke go up? Or was there a whoosh of fire? Was there just an explosion of fire? Fire that evaporated the water and the blood. Fire that burned up the sacrifice and the wood. Fire that destroyed the stones and the dust." So that all was left was a ring there where that altar had been. And the people fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." Hallelujah. What a tremendous victory. But something had to be done about the false witness, about the wrong religion. And they were destroyed. See, you got to get rid of something. Just like David knocking down that giant. David just putting that stone right where he was vulnerable, where there was no armor, and down he goes. And David didn't count the victory then. No, he went and he grabbed that sword. And he finished the job. Make sure you don't just knock down those habits. Don't just knock down those situations that are against you. Get rid of them. End it. Praise God. destroy it. And thank God we're able to step into the realm that the Lord has for us and the blessings that he has. Amen. Now, John the Baptist, three times, or in one instance, he mentions three different kinds of fire. Matthew 3, he's dealing with the aspect of fire in his preaching. I like the way he just is so direct and so careful to let it be known. In Matthew 3, beginning at verse 10, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit, and we're teaching about fruit, look at this warning, you do not produce good fruit, will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Fruit or fire? Wow, that's a pretty strong presentation of what needs to be done. I baptize you with water for repentance, he says. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Oh, the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reading from a different version there, the King James says, he's mightier than I. Amen. Mightier than I. He's the mighty God, the one who is wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Thank God. That's the one he's calling upon. That's the one he's saying is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Verse 12, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Grain or garbage? That's kind of that fruit or fire option. Amen. Making sure that we're in the wheat category, not the chaff. Amen. Because the Lord desires to bless. The Lord desires to increase. The Lord desires to multiply. And thank God there's a fire that John the Baptist prophesied would come. And then it happened. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Oh, what excitement. Praise God. What blessing. What power. Amen. What goodness that the Lord was displaying for them. Something that had been prophesied so many years before, even before John the Baptist. Praise God. And the power of the Lord that was poured out in such an amazing way. As the Lord prophesied 800 years before, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Glory to God. And the power of the Lord would be there in such abundance. And the blessings of God that would come upon each one of them. The disciples who were there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was there. The brothers of Jesus, who were there. The 120, all being filled. And then 3,000 more, and then 5,000 more, and then multitudes. Praise God. Oh, I'm glad that the Lord has enough available for all. All can receive it. All can have it. Praise God. And the wonderful works of God that they were talking about as they were speaking in tongues, and the power of the Lord that was being displayed. Oh, there was questions asked. There were people who were wondering. There was confusion and questions, and they came together and said, what meaneth this? What's going on here anyway? How come we hear them talking in our languages? We know they're Galileans. We know they speak Aramaic, and some of them may speak a little bit of Hebrew, but how are they speaking in our languages? They wanted to know what's going on. Peter preached about the prophecy from Joel. And how the power of the Lord would be displayed and the blessings of God that would come forth. Praise God. And as they heard Peter preach, they began to feel a necessity within them. They began to recognize, I've got to do something. And that was the question they asked. What shall we do? A lot of people today ask the question too. But the question is, what shall we talk about? Your thoughts, my thoughts, your ideas, my ideas. It's all valid. It's all good. We're all going to the same place. Well, let's talk about it. wasn't what they talk about. Wasn't what they think about. What shall we do? And the answer was very plain. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Thank God. We repent. That's doing. We're baptized. That's doing. We receive the Spirit. That's doing. Because we let God do that work within us. Amen. And the power of the Lord being displayed in that manner. Praise God. Oh, wonderful blessings of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for his power and his blessing. Now, Paul, he's in this shipwreck. And it's been years now since he was converted. He had been an enemy of the church. You talk about an example of repentance where there's changes, powerful changes, total changes, complete changes. That's the change that came to him. He had been an enemy of the church. He had been one who would persecute, prosecute, and execute those who believed like you believe in the powerful name of Jesus and the move of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. But the Lord brought him to a place of conversion, a change, a repentance. Thank God. And he was baptized, and he received the Holy Ghost, and he went about then on these missionary journeys. And here he is now shipwrecked. You know, that can be kind of discouraging. And make you kind of question, God, what's going on here anyway? But it was Paul who wrote about the Spirit helping our infirmities. He wrote about the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He's the one who said, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. All of the aspects, all of the benefits, all that the Lord wants to provide in his Spirit that John had prophesied before, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise God. He knew all of these things were working together for him. Amen. And what's a miracle, what's amazing, is not one individual was lost in that shipwreck. You hear about shipwrecks, and you almost always hear about fatalities from, you know, small events to the Titanic. And Alaska waters, no exception. Even with modern technology and modern equipment and so on, we still read, unfortunately, about fishermen going down. No one was lost in this situation. A miracle. Because Paul was in contact with the Lord. Amen. Paul said, be of good cheer. Paul said, there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Praise God. And the centurion who was in charge of the prisoners, he's there listening. He's there hearing. And they others who said, we need to kill the prisoners, they're going to escape. No, no, he wanted to show Paul a favor. He wanted to give Paul the benefit of the doubt. Amen. And they all got to shore safely. So now they're building a fire. They kindled a fire. And the people who were there gathered around, you know, helped them out, felt sorry for them, and showed them kindness, and they built a fire. And Paul picks up a stick to add to the fire, and a snake bites him. That would get my attention. That'd make me a little bit upset. But Paul, all he did was went over to the fire and shook it off. And the snake fell in there, curled and hissed and crisped. Oh, I'm so glad that's where the devil's going. I'm so thankful that the devil is going to end up in the fire. Praise God. Amen. A lake of fire. Praise the Lord. Oh, the people's eyes got big. They thought, this man must be a murderer. He's got some terrible things in his background, and judgment has just been served him. That's why that snake bit him. They expected his hand to swell up, you know, they expected him to start showing reaction to the poison and the venom that that viper put in him. And when he didn't, they said, he's a god. My goodness, we've got a god in the flesh right here. You know, real important to know truth. Superstition, oftentimes based on fear, superstitions that people have. You know, the mirror, the ladder, the cat, you know, all of those things. And it's sad when a religion will combine superstitions just to control the people with fear. And there's a lot of that going on. That's why we need to know the truth. That's why we need to love the truth. That's why we need to walk in truth. Praise God. And to know the power of the Lord. Amen. And I don't think Paul was afraid to pick up another stick. I think he just felt like, well, there's more snakes. We'll just throw more of them in the fire. He just kept piling it on. Praise God. The scripture says, where there is no wood, there the fire goeth out. Now, the context of that verse, Proverbs 26 and 20, the context is talking about gossip, talking about being a talebearer. If you stop doing that, the fire will go out. But when we apply it to the Spirit, when we apply it to praise, keep piling it on. Praise God. Keep going. Amen. Brother Adams, when he was flying with the Air National Guard, and they would fly from Anchorage out to Kotzebue, and they're on a training mission, and it's hunting season, Brother Abbott, and they're flying up high and heading out to Kotzebue. He said, it's interesting to look down and where the rivers are to see if here's a fire. A few more miles, here's another campfire. And, oh, look over here, here's another fire. He said, you're way up high and it's dark, but, oh, those fires just show up. And you see, there's a camp. There are some more hunters. There are some more who are after the moose or fish or ducks or whatever. But he said, the fires show up. Oh, I want the Father to see. I want him to see what's down here. Praise God. Now, he's the one who sends the fire. He's the one who puts the fire in us. But pile it on. Pile it on. Praise God. More praise. More worship. More desire. More reaching for the things that God has available for you. We want that blaze of praise to continue. Amen. Because fires of hell are not for you and me. Fires of hell are for the devil and his angels. I love the way Matthew 25:41 lets us know it's everlasting fire that's going to be for the devil and his angels, not for you and me. We obey the word of God. We receive the fire of the Spirit of the Lord. We keep piling it on day after day, week after week. We're in the house of God. We're worshiping with God's people. Amen. We're hearing the truth of his word, and we're putting it inside of us. We're putting it all there. Praise God. We're not letting it slip away and be forgotten. We're continuing on with what the Lord has. And soon, that rescue is going to take place. Praise God. Amen. And the Lord is going to come back for his people. What a change fire makes. What a change. There's little that can be restored. That's why your house insurance includes a little, what is that called? A segment of your, a part of your insurance, we'll just say it that way, that can tear your house down after fire damage, because more than likely you're not going to be able to restore it, depending on the damage of the fire. And there's a clause, there it is, a clause that says so much money will go towards tearing your house down so that you can build it again. And the replacement cost then kicks in. Fire changes things. And thank God it changes positively for us. Amen. It changes powerfully for us. Never again the same. Amen. Yeah, the Lord takes care of things that will drag us down. The Lord takes care of things that will hold us back. The Lord takes care of things that will damage us and even destroy us. But he moves us into his benefits. He moves, you know, he daily loads you with benefits. That's what the Bible says. Praise God. And so we're going to pile it on. Amen. We're going to invite the Lord. Pile it on, Lord. Load me up, God. I want your benefits. I want your power. I want your blessing. Hallelujah. Thank God. And the change that the Lord makes. Oh, the devil can make changes. He can make terrible changes. He can make horrible changes. He can make destructive changes. But the Lord makes changes that delivers. The Lord makes changes that delights. Amen. That's what we desire. Stand with me now, please. Praise God. Amen. If you've ever had occasion to be out on a boat at night, and it's dark and hard to see the shore, or maybe you're a long ways from the shore, and it's and you're looking for the navigation lights that show this is a rock, or this is the point that you need to be aiming for, because you go around that point and you're going to be inside of the harbor and all the lights are going to be bright and you're going to breathe a sigh of relief. Ah, we're almost there. If you've ever been in that situation, you know what it's like to be just peering in the darkness. And that light should be right there. And maybe a rainstorm, maybe a snow squall, maybe fog is obscuring it a little bit. But you keep going because you know it should be there. And then all of a sudden, there it is. You continue steering, continue navigating, because that light is going to take you home. Praise God. Amen. Oh, I want the fire of God to illuminate us. I want the fire of God to provide for us. I want the fire of God to do that work for us. Let's come and pray here today. Oh, what a wonderful presence of the Lord I'm feeling right here. Praise God. What a peaceful presence of the Lord. Amen. There are times that the presence of the Lord, you know, Brother Murphy told me about someone receiving the Holy Ghost in his church, and he was so excited, so thrilled that this lady got the Holy Ghost. He said it felt like when I put my foot down, there was a spring under it that made it come right back up again. He couldn't stand still. He had to, in his excitement, just give expression to the Lord in a dance and a praise and a worship. Praise God. Amen. I'm just feeling a peaceful presence of God right now. I'm just feeling like, God, you poured out your spirit. You blessed in such a wonderful way. You give us peace that passes all understanding. You give us joy that's unspeakable. Oh, God, I just want to love you. I just want to praise you. I just want to worship you. I want to thank you for what you mean to me. I want to thank you for how you've been so faithful. I want to worship you, Lord, because I love you. I love you. Oh, yes. Let's raise our hands and worship right now. Yes, it came.